Hey guys, what the fuck? It has been a minute. Let's play catch up. Let's catch up, guys. Shall we catch up over a cup of morning yerba mate? Last episode I recorded, last previously on X-Men. Previously on Ouch My 30s. No, I'm not having, well, maybe I am having a manic episode. I was in Tampa, Florida. I had gone there, gone down there. Maybe I was interested in a girl at the time. She may have been down there, and Val works remote, so he said, "Why not just go down to the beach and see where love will take you?" It definitely was not love, but I had recorded an episode of how that ended, and like I like cried during it, like ugly cried. Hoo-wee. But the beauty of it in your 30s is that like it really just takes a weekend to get over like a love affair or like a a tryst. Ordinarily I'm floored for like years and weeks and shit, but like I just listen to like Alexander O'Neal. When the night comes in, love can find new meaning. And like drank for the weekend, and then like c came Monday, I was like, I'm going back to New York. Which I don't know. Do I even get into that? I guess I get into that. So like we had known each other for a while. She was always sort of in a relationship, and we'd always just kind of kept friendly. I forget how we actually like ended up like becoming romantically entwined. How the fuck did that even start? Anyway, she was just like being very aloof and like distant. I guess she didn't like me. I don't know what happened. She was like aloof, distant, unresponsive. But other than that, it was great. So good. But here's the beauty of it. As an adult in our 30s, from our learned romantic experiences, I like kind of called her on it, where I was like, "Hey, look, if you're not into this, like that's totally fine. Like just let me know." Because we were gonna hang out one night after she worked, and she was a bartender, is a bartender, and like we'd like get out at like 3 o'clock in the morning and be like, "Let's start drinking." I'm like, "Bitch, I'm in bed." But we were gonna hang out, and she's like, "Yeah, I'll text you when I get out." I was like, "Cool, yeah, just let me know, and I'll meet you wherever." And she like just didn't, and like shit happens, and I'm like not one of those like, "You didn't, what the hell?" Like I'm pretty laid back. And then in the morning, she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I was like, "Yeah, cool. Just like next time, like, just let me know that like you're tired and like you're not like trying to hang, so I can go do something else." She's like, "Oh yeah, that's totally fair. That's totally fair." I'm like, "Okay." And then like things like that just kind of kept happening. And then like eventually, like we did meet up, and I was like, "All right, look, like, it's cool." She's like, "No, like I want to spend time with you. It's just a really busy month, and like I like you. Like let's spend time together." Like as soon as like this month calms down, I'm like, okay, and like she was really like kind of like doing like the, the raven-haired seductress thing. I was like, yeah, bet. And yeah, all right. So long story short, I guess I am recapping this. Maybe the episode I recorded right after she like did what I'm about to recount now. God, it's so complicated because like I was her. Like family was like down there too, and like they kind of absorbed me into like hanging out, and then like we all met up together, but she was like with another dude. I don't think she was expecting me to be there. And again, totally fine. I was just like, and I asked her, I was like, "Hey, look, if you're like banging somebody else, like that's cool. Like just let me know so I'm not like prioritizing like us hanging out kind of deal." Again, like just direct adult conversations. But she was trying to do this like emotionally unavailable, like 20-something-year-old stuff. And I'm like, I already dated this girl from Michigan in my 20s, okay? Like I've done this. Like, I just want like a direct, like yes or no for whatever it is. I wasn't even like looking for fucking like a relationship. So basically, like it just got real awkward because like clearly the dude she was like going home with that night like ended up at this like bar that we were all at that I ended up at because like her brother invited me, and I was like, what is going on? And I was like, hey, you want to ride home? Because I was still under the impression that like she and I were like hanging. She's like, no, Jack's gonna give me a ride home. I'm like, who the fuck is Jack? Like, and he was like such a fucking jamoke, just like, the thing about I love a good Aperol spritz, because like you know, just like bartender talk. I fucking hate all that shit. So like, I was like, she's like, give me a hug. I was like, get the fuck off me. So like, I stormed out of the bar, but because it's Florida and there's no sidewalks, number one, I'd called Uber and it was like 16 minutes away. So I timed my storming out bad. So I like storm out of the bar and it's like, Abdul is 16 minutes away. And I was like, fuck. And there's no sidewalks in Florida. So I had to like shift down to like to some fucking median and wait for the Uber there. So yeah, it was a nightmare. The very next day, I packed up my car, drove to the Amtrak auto train in Orlando from Tampa, about a 2.5 hour drive, almost missed my auto train. It's like a Knight Rider vehicle that you can like load your car onto and it drives you, rides you to Virginia. Florida to Orlando, listening to Soundgarden. Do I really want to know? Fuck, man. I need to learn lyrics. It was like relevant to my situation, kind of. And I came back to New York, and here I be. Now, that was like 5 months ago. That was like in November. So I went from this Tampa, like the Tampa fuck up, the Tampa tryst, and I lived in New York for 5 months, which I guess is what we'll get into now with that. Whew. My life, why do I make my life so fucking complicated? Oh my God. New York was really good. I hadn't really been in the comedy scene in a long time in a meaningful way, like where I was like daily grinding, showing up to a comedy club, like getting to like know people and like get back into the scene a little bit. And it was really fucking good in the sense that like it reminded me that I still have it as a like, you know, creatively I have it. But man, was I fucking tired. You know, I'm still struggling with this like EOE, like food swallowing thing that like fucks up your throat and like it hurts to like eat most food. And I just realized I didn't have the horsepower to be grinding like a 25-year-old. I just didn't. And a lot of the kids that I was doing that were at this club were just like in their fucking mid-20s and they just had the energy. And I was like, God damn it, I'm better than them, but I'm just too fucking tired to do this and like drink myself to death until 2 a.m. trying to get this ridiculous club owner to fucking give me a midnight spot. So I did that for 5 months. And got really good. You know, I was writing killer material. I really feel excited about it. I just got to make sure that I stay on top of it up here in the woods where I am right now. And a lot was learned there. A lot of great physical stuff. I got a personal trainer and like was challenging myself physically as well. It was a great challenge, but there's still something like missing in my physiology that like, or just like the city's exhausting, you know, I'm fucking 37. It's just like, to try to fight the way that I fought 10 years ago just maybe might not be appropriate for where I am in life right now. But it was really nice to like be a part of it and be like, okay, yeah, I can still do this. And like very few of these comics are like really saying anything super novel. There are some fucking amazing comics in that scene though. This girl who was hosting the mic, Alexis, this sardonic, fucking tough, just a great fucking comic. I'll shout her out every fucking time I can. Alexis Ramirez, great fucking comic, great mic host, just like a host that like keeps you like not too supportive where it's like annoying and you're just like, oh, what is it, fucking like preschool, but like not like too blasé about it where it's just like, well, why are we even fucking here? Just like really right on that line of just like, anyway, she's great. Go see her at the Comedy Shop. Yeah, and other than that, I didn't really do much romantically or socially. I didn't do shit romantically or socially. I think I went on like 2 dates. One date, I bruised the head of my penis because the girl was too shallow. We're like having sex and like, you know, I don't know, I'm just horny and I'm like banging. She's like, go as deep as you want. And like, I keep like banging the head of my penis against something. I'm like, well, I guess I just got to bust through that, whatever that is. Instead of like stopping and being like, ow, this hurts. So then like my penis hurt for like 2 weeks. And that was the whole thing, like going to fucking urologist and shit. It was totally fine. They're like, yeah, there's some bruising. I'm like, are you sure? And like the white lady urologist that I went to, she's like, well, unless it looks like an eggplant, you didn't like break it. I was like, what did you say to me? Yeah, New York was a trip. But then, dude, I had shingles. I from stress, I guess. I thought I had like, oh my, it was just a lot. It was a lot. It's a lot on the body. Winter in New York. grinding as a comedian, drinking probably way too much is hard on the body. And I'm just like, I don't know if I can fucking do this anymore like this. So, but it was a good challenge. And I think it's, again, like this finding that happy balance, you know, it's not about like running from society, and it may not necessarily be about, also, the fucking cunts, yes, the cunts that live in New York City now, these horrible, rich, white women from Ohio who have no fucking, like, yes, you're misogynistic and you hate women, and it's like, no. I love people. I love real people. I love the hardworking women of, like, the Hudson Valley, or in a lot of places that I know who are, like, some of them bartenders, not the ones that break my heart, just hardworking women, women who work real jobs, I defer to every time because they know what it is to fucking sacrifice. But these fucking ladies, to quote Bill Burr, in New York City are just like like these awful fucking tech company HR middle managers who dominate the New York City dating landscape are fucking horrible. They're horrible people. And it's not their gender, it's not their race, but it is their economic strata that makes them fucking terrible people. And there's so many of them in the city now that it's just like, ugh, like, you're in my city. Don't look at me. I was at a bar. Just, you know, no woman owes me anything at a bar, but the place is empty. She's like a seat next to me. And I laughed really loud at a text that was kind of obnoxious. And I glanced over. I was like, oh, my bad. I usually don't laugh like that, like an asshole on my text. My buddy just sent me something funny. And she looks over with the slow head turn. Like we're in a fucking like SNL sketch. She's like, live your life, and slow turns back to her. I was like, well, excuse me. And I wasn't like, hey, hello, how you doing? I just like made an offhand remark to sort of like try to have some social etiquette, and looked at me like I was some fucking, you know, loose Negro in the bar. Oh my God. So yeah, this is, I don't know. That's why I'm going to fucking like Florence, Kentucky, just to Florence, South Carolina. Buy myself some redneck girl. Where is my redneck girl? Where can she be? I want to shoot wild hogs so we can be free. My throat is fucked up. Anyway. So yeah, New York was a trip. Made me strong. Reminded me of what I hate. And now I'm back up in the woods for a little bit at an undisclosed location, but it's super chill. I'm swimming again. I'm doing a lot of walking, doing a lot of going uphill. There's a lot of inclines in this town, so like my body's feeling it in a good way. And I'm just focusing on the recommendations of my functional medicine doctor. I've been working with one of them. Got a slight gut overgrowth. Got to repopulate it with good bacteria. You know, gonna heal the intestinal lining with some DGL licorice, aloe vera, and L-glutamine. We're on a healthy path, man. We are getting there. Yeah, we're getting ready for the spring. And yeah, maybe do some shows up here. Maybe kind of find a place to workshop my material with a little less stress. And mom and dad appear to be fine. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. I mean, I don't want to end on this, but I don't know if I could call him a friend, but he was a fixture in my friend group from my coffee shop days from 2009. So, you know, almost carry the one, you know, almost like 14, 15 years. A friend of mine, he killed himself. And I was always fond of the guy. I couldn't say I was close with him, but like, yeah, again, he's like, he was a fixture of the friend group. One of my best friends was very close with him. So that's kind of where it hit, you know, seeing your close friends or people you care about a lot be hurt by something is always tough. And me and this guy, his name was Jesse. Again, we never had a lot of conversations, but I remember we always used to kind of riff on this conducive. Like, I used the word conducive once at this bar called Joe's Irish Pub and Beacon. And he's like, I don't know if that's the right way to say that. I was like, I think it's the right use of it. Like, yeah, it wouldn't be conducive. He's like, yeah, it wouldn't be conducive. And like, you know, for months we'd always see each other and be like, yeah, conducive. Yeah, it wouldn't be very conducive. It just, you know, just like some dumb little thing. And when someone's gone, it's like truly like that leaves, something leaves you, something leaves with them that, you know, gave isn't the right word, but like that moment we shared is now like a little bit gone, you know, like 50% of it just gone, you know. So I don't know. It was just, you know, seeing people you care about face a reckoning, like face a degree of reality that maybe they never really had to, you know. Yeah, it was sad. It was very sad when someone who just, you know, yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't have any meaningful insights on it. I had a nice cry. I did cry about it because my buddy told me about it, and then I drove to go just go do whatever. And then on their drive, I was just like, wow, like that person is not with us. And he was a funny guy, you know. He had that wry kind of smile, just in that, like a shit eating grin kind of thing. And I guess what I dive in from that is fucking check on people, man. That's the toughest thing, even for me, you know, whether it's people think I'm stronger than I am or assume that I've got more going on than I do. It's like, check on me, fuck. But other people too. And I have a lot of good things in my life. And I know if I struggle with situations or thoughts like that, I know there are other people who are on the fucking edge. And men in particular, you know, men are fucking struggling, but the world is telling us that, like, because, like, a small amount of us are pieces of shit, we're all hunks of garbage and, you know, are not owed any sympathy because of the patriarchy or some horseshit. So, yeah, check on the men in your life because men are struggling. I tried to explain this to this girl I was hanging out with. I was like, if you went outside and started crying, a fucking crowd would surround you and be like, what do you need? She's like, well, that's not true. I'm like, you fucking naive. Yeah. I'm not misogynistic. I just don't like weak people. I love strong women. I do. Because my mom's a strong woman. All right. Anyway, take care of people. Check in on them. I know the world's a crazy place. And I know people get busy. But, like, I guarantee you, people are struggling more than you realize. But, hey, here's to a good spring and a wonderful summer, guys. Let's get after it, huh?
Let's get after it. Brought to you by Maximum Protein.
All right. Love you.